You are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place because this is the Willpower Podcast. Attention, self-employed professionals and business owners. Are rising healthcare costs weighing you down? Well, it's time to make a change. Introducing Impact Healthcare, your path to savings. With us, you can save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare expenses. Our flexible plans are designed to fit your needs, and our user-friendly app puts healthcare in the palm of your hand. Join the thousands who have already made the switch to Impact Healthcare and take control of your healthcare costs today. If you're interested, click the link in the bio of this episode and give yourself a free quote to see for yourself the amazing savings that you can get with Impact Healthcare. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Will Power Podcast. Today, we have an amazing individual as our guest, and his name is Justin Lotfi. And Justin actually completed an Ironman, which in itself is super, super impressive. Outside of that, he's also the owner of Onyx Peak Capital, and he's a top-tier real estate coach that primarily helps military veterans invest in real estate and also gain financial freedom, which is an amazing purpose. So Justin, with that being said, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course, man. My pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And so to start out, I kind of want to know more about your past and kind of what got you started and how it kind of helped turn you into who you are today.
Ooh, that's an in-depth question. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, as I was telling you before, I grew up between Philly and South Jersey. I enlisted in the Air Force when I was 19 years old. Originally was an aircraft mechanic. Super lucky in that the Air Force sent me to college at the Air Force Academy. After spending 4 years there, came out, went into Air Force Special Warfare, which was absolute blast. Got to spend some time with some really cool guys and go see the world under that program. And then when I got out, I was really trying to figure out what to do. I had an idea that I wanted to get into entrepreneurship. And so I kind of took a stab at search funds. So search funds is like a tiny part of private equity. Are you familiar with them?
I'm not, no.
Okay, so search funds is just one guy looking for one small to middle market business to purchase. It's a very, very small part of private equity. And I took a shot at that. I was not able to raise a fund and I realized I needed more operational experience. So I went out, got a job with Amazon as an operations manager and worked for them for about a year and a half before I got a job as COO of a middle market company called Cherokee Wood Products. Awesome. And so that gave me all the kind of operational experience to allow me to then jump into just, you know, running my own business, which today, like you said, is Onyx Peak Capital.
Yeah, I love that. That's an amazing come up story. And I love how you also talked about going 9 to 5 first, right before jumping right into entrepreneurship. You know, I think a lot of kids, especially nowadays, they get all the messages online and they kind of just want to go straight into entrepreneurship and kind of get that experience under the belt. But it's extremely difficult, right? Because you got to get a lot of other soft skills and hard skills in order to like succeed in entrepreneurship at the end of the day, which kind of you touched on, you know, working at Amazon, becoming a CEO, kind of working up the ranks and kind of getting that logistical background for jumping into entrepreneurship on your own. So with that being said, what were some of the biggest lessons that I would say you learned from your 9 to 5 that you kind of took with you into entrepreneurship later on?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I thought I was the same way. I thought like straight out the military, I could jump into entrepreneurship because I was like, you know, I've led men in combat. Like, we can do this. This is right. This is simple.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, investors thought differently. They were like, well, yes, but you don't have, you know, on the ground experience like in business. And they were right. You know, one of the things you learn in Amazon is that everything is data driven. They take all of the decisions that they make, and every single one is data driven down to like how many boxes an individual person can stack or pack or whatever. And that's measured. And so then they can make decisions based on that. And so understanding that you can really take the data from any piece of performance and then make that decision, you know, helps you make better logical business decisions. When I went over to Cherokee Wood Products, I was able to take that knowledge and then also kind of combine it with the leadership that I learned in the military, because it was a small, like, middle market company. There was only about 80 employees. And so, you know, creating those personal relationships, understanding what drives people, and then combining that with database decisions, like, that's really what prepped me to be able to run a business today.
100%. That is a recipe for success right there. Understanding how people work and the actual data behind, you know, those scenarios, which is super cool. And I also love the military background, because one, you get a ton of leadership out of going down the military route, the Air Force. Like you said, you went to Air Force Academy, which is in itself super impressive. That's a very prestigious school. So congratulations on that. But also, I wish more kids did that, right? Because a lot of times they pay for your college for the 4 years. So you're not coming out in a ton of debt, right? You're still getting a great education. You got a ton of other, you know, real world experience. Like you said, you travel the world. I mean, a lot of people can't say they travel the world, got all that experience. And also on top of that, you also get those leadership skills. So I think that's a huge plus on top of that, that kids should kind of pay more attention to, you know, because it's a good way to start out in life.
And I'm very pro not paying for college. Like,
I agree.
If you cannot pay for college, do that. However you do it, there's a lot of routes. Very pro, don't pay for college.
Yes. Especially now, I mean, you see a lot of kids coming out, you know, with 100 grand in debt, and college prices are only going to be rising going forward. And obviously, you know, with internet and social media, it's obviously becoming less, you know, important, I would say, going to college than it was like 30 years ago. So it's definitely kind of a shifting tide, and needs to be a shifting mindset for a lot of young kids as well. So after your 9-to-5 stint, obviously you jumped into entrepreneurship. So why did you decide to go into real estate? Was real estate the first field you jumped into as an entrepreneur after that, or how did that work for you?
Well, so like I said, I was COO of a middle market company. There was really nowhere for me to grow from there. I knew I didn't want to go to a bigger company because I already worked for Amazon. And so I knew what that was like. And so I was kind of tapped out. So I started looking for other ways to create that professional growth. And I reached out to a few mentors who pointed me towards White Feather's Real Estate Accelerator, which is a 6-month course, like high intensive, like where you learn everything from, you know, personal finances through investing in real estate to like advanced tax strategies. And that's the course I teach today. But I needed a new way to grow. And so I looked into real estate, and we did really well. We did a wholesale deal that landed us about $270,000, like in a 4-month period.
Wow.
And, you know, we bought a few properties along the way. And so my wife and I sat down and said, you know, we're really doing this part time. I need to know what this would look like if we do it full time, because all that was happening while I was still running this other company, you know. And so her and I went out to a brewery, Kona Brewery in Hawaii, and just sat down over beers. Like, okay, like we're gonna jump in this with both feet.
Wow.
And so we did.
That's gotta be a scary moment, obviously, but I think you've seen some success with it, right? So made the wife a little bit more confident.
I mean, we do everything together, her and I, but I will tell you, like, it's entrepreneurship is terrifying, like all the way through.
Yes.
But it's got a lot of rewards, you know?
Yes. Exactly. And so you jumped in, you started doing wholesaling after you kind of took that course for 6 months, right? You kind of learned, like you said, finances, real estate in general. And what was that course called again? Because it was White Feather Real Estate, something like that. What you said it was?
White Feather Investments, Real Estate Accelerator.
Gotcha. And so in this course, you pretty much learned A to Z, everything, finances, real estate, all that stuff.
Yep.
Wow. That sounds
all the way. Like, we start you at like, hey, this is everything you're doing wrong. Like, this is the normal financial path of, you make more money, then you get a bigger house, you probably got more credit card debt, all of the things that like your average American falls into. And, you know, I was guilty of as well. You know, every year we made more money, every year we spent more money, we moved to more expensive places. And, you know, that's kind of the normal American cycle. And so we start there and say, look, this is you probably what you're doing wrong. And then we go into real estate and, you know, looking for the right market, different strategies to buy homes, you know, how to find short-term rentals, or like do cash flow analysis on a long-term rental. And then we'll go into like advanced tax strategies and wealth building strategies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so important, especially for entrepreneurs, because I'm sure you deal with this all the time where people just specialize in their field, but they don't have the finance background. They don't know the tax strategy whatsoever when actually growing their wealth. You talk like wealth management, and that's a whole different game plan, right? So if you have a course out there that can teach those kinds of people how to properly prepare for like an exit or prepare to actually build their wealth in the future, I think that's a huge step because most people, like you talk about, don't really have that figured out like whatsoever. That's not their field of interest. So it's a
For
big change.
sure. I mean, taxes are your biggest expense that you will ever incur in your life is taxes. So understanding the rules of that game, really change it, open it up, especially if you're going to become a business owner.
Exactly. And so later on, you started up Onyx Peak Capital. So can you kind of dive into what that company particularly does?
So Onyx Peak Capital, what we do is provide great investments for real estate investors. A lot of real estate investors don't have time to go search for like their next home they need to invest in. But when you're looking at your taxes and when you're making your tax strategies, you've got to invest X amount of dollars this year so that you don't get a big tax bill. So what we do is go out, find those homes, like put them all on a nice plate and say, here you go. Like, here's all the information you need. Is this something that you'd like to invest in? And really take all of the work out of it for the investor and just put it up on a platter.
Gotcha. So you're primarily being the wholesaler, finding the deals for these investors and kind of bringing them to their plate. So all I can have to do is just invest in those deals at the end of the day.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. So from your perspective, why did you decide to go down the wholesale route instead of doing like just normal rentals, long-term rentals, or Airbnb, all because there's so many options in real estate, can get confusing really quickly. So why did you decide to go down the wholesale route?
No, that's a good question because I think when people think real estate, they, like you said, there's a lot of options. But what's important if you're going into real estate, is first you need something that's going to create cash flow. Okay. Like you, whether that's your normal job, whether that's a short-term rental, or having a wholesaling business or flipping, like those are things that create a lot of cash. So it is active income, because you're actively managing your short-term rental, you're actively, flipping homes, actively looking for wholesale deals. Like that's active income. Then what you want to do is take that cash and invest it into long-term rentals, which is passive income. Like we have long-term rentals, I don't do anything for it. Like they just the property management company sends money to the bank account and gives me a statement. That's passive income. So when you're going into real estate, whether that's going to be your full-time job or something that you want to do passively, like you take your active income over here, maybe that's your W-2, maybe that's flipping homes, whatever it is that you love to do to create money. And then you put that into your passive income until your passive income like passes your active income. And then you don't have to work anymore. Right. That's when you like, we're done. We're done working, or you keep building it. So for us, like I love hunting for deals. Like it's something that I really enjoy. I like the hunting and negotiating. And so that's why I hope wholesaling made sense. We also own short-term rentals. We own a short-term rental property management company. So those are all active income, but then we take that money and we buy long-term rentals.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're just using wholesaling for like you're talking about for the active income part of it and then transfer the over into the passive side of the long-term, short-term rentals. Getting that rental income coming in for you guys, which is a pretty good strategy. Yeah. So for people looking to get started, obviously, like you talked about, it's a lot of up money cash to kind of get started from your active transferring over to passive, buying your first like investment property, rental property. So how much money would you say is like the threshold that you kind of need to get started looking for like investment rental properties? Do you have a number for that in mind, or is that just, whatever it is?
No, because you have to understand there are so many ways to buy a home. You can buy a home conventionally, like what you normally think of is, okay, I need 20, 25% down to invest in a home. And if that's a $100,000 home, that's like 20 grand, 25 grand plus closing costs. Like that's a lot of money, right? But there's ways to buy homes with no money. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is there are a lot of different ways to buy homes. So, if you're wanting to get into real estate and you have no knowledge at all, like first, like just pick up a book, like pick up Rich Dad Poor Dad and start there, or go take a class that's going to show you like, hey, these are all the different ways that you can invest. Because like I'll tell you, we have a house under contract right now that's going to cost me $10,000 out of pocket, and it's a $300,000 home. And so you wonder like, hey, how do you do that? $10,000 for a $300,000 home, that doesn't make sense. But it does if you understand all of the ways that you can buy a home.
Yeah. Well, do you mind going into that a little bit more? Like how did that situation pop up? How did you get it for 10,000?
So that one specifically, we're purchasing what's called subject to, we're purchasing it subject to the existing loan staying in place. You know, right now across the states, about 60% of the loans are under 4%, like of the loans that are out there right now, you know, and current interest rates are 5%. You know, so what's the most valuable thing on a home that's for sale? It's likely the mortgage, because if your mortgage is at 4% and lower, like that's a much more valuable asset than the home, because then your wealth will grow a lot faster than if you had an 8.5% interest rate, right? And so with this home, the owner had very little equity, but he needed to move. He was a military guy. He said, look, I've already left this house. We've already moved into the other home because they got stationed somewhere else. But I'm getting billed like from this mortgage that I don't want. It's an empty house. Like, how do I get rid of it? Now, if they were to sell it on the open market, they would actually lose money, because then you have to pay the commission fees and the closing costs. And he didn't have enough equity in the home for that to make sense. So like, think about that. Like, you sell your house and you have to pay somebody $10,000 to $15,000. You lose money on selling a home. It's ridiculous. Right. You know, so another option is then to have somebody just take over your mortgage that's already in place. You know, so what we're doing is we are taking over their mortgage, you know, taking over the payments, putting all of that stuff into Onyx Peak, and transferring the title over to Onyx Peak. He said he wanted $5,000. I was like, deal. Like, I will give you $5,000. We'll give your realtor $5,000. Everybody's happy. Everybody wins, because he doesn't lose money. He gets the cash he wanted. The realtor still gets paid out what they want. And we solve the problem for that guy who would have lost 10, 15 grand by selling his house.
That's crazy to think about, but definitely it makes sense. You know, like, you're saving him money because he doesn't have to sell it, and you're taking over the mortgage. Just taking on that, you know, the mortgage payment that he would have to do. So it makes sense at the end of the day. So in that particular case, obviously that's a very unique scenario. And I think a lot of people like, man, that'd be an excellent deal to find. But how do people actually go out there and find those types of deals? Like, you're talking like, you love finding deals, and there's definitely an art to it, right? Because that's how you become a great wholesaler. That's how you become a great investor, by finding the great deals that are out there. So how, like, what's your process on finding those deals, and how do you actually go about doing that?
I will tell you, I think the best advice I'd ever gotten was that when it comes to finding deals, like, volume will negate skill. So if you go out tomorrow and you make 200 offers on homes, like, you're going to find a great deal. It doesn't matter if you're good or anything. Like, rule of numbers will show that eventually, like, you're going to find a great deal. And that's what I did to start. Like, I made over 120 offers before I found that deal in Daytona Beach that became such a great wholesale deal. You know, and that's the thing that people don't understand. Like, making offers not only then gives you that repeated skill, but then you get better and better and better. And, like, you'll find them. Like, if you just keep going out there and swinging, like, eventually you're going to hit one. And so that's kind of what I tell people off the bat is, if you're looking for a great offer, first figure out what you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for a subject to deal, then you're looking for a home that doesn't have a lot of equity and a motivated seller who subject to would be the best solution for them. You know, something for that, when you're looking on Redfin, say, okay, this has been listed for 30, 45 days or more. You can see they just bought the house 2, maybe 3 years ago. So there's not a lot of equity in that. And all that shows, like, on Redfin.
Gotcha. So before I go on to the next question, do you mind touching on what subject to means for the people that are listening to this? I know you kept on saying subject to a couple times.
So subject to, or sub to, is purchasing a home subject to the existing mortgage staying in place. So I am buying your home, but I am taking over the payments on the existing loan. Like, nothing changes on the loan that stays there, because we want that 3.75% interest rate, right? And so the title switches over, the ownership switches over, but the mortgage stays in place. And then the contracts, make it so that the buyer has to then pay. They have the obligations to pay that mortgage, or obviously there's consequences.
Okay. So I'm assuming you primarily focus on only subject to, is that your trading strategy, like your wholesaling strategy, just going solely into subject to housing?
No, you know, for me, what my strategy is figuring out the best solution for the seller, you know, because the seller is selling their home for a reason. You know, most people right now, if they have their home at a 4% or less interest rate, they're selling it because they have to, you know, and so understanding, okay, why are you selling your home, then allows me to figure out what's the best solution. You know, maybe subject to is like what we described for that guy. Maybe seller finances, if they don't want to get a large chunk of cash and they just want to get lots of cash along the next couple of years, like maybe seller finance is a better option for them. Maybe they need to close in 2 weeks. And so then I'll offer them cash. Like there's a lot of different, like I said, ways to buy a home.
Yeah.
And understanding those allows you to solve the seller's problem and then kind of create that relationship that makes great deals.
Right. Right. I think a lot of it too is understanding the pain points of like your person selling the home. Obviously, like you're talking like the mortgage, obviously with interest rates rising, I think that's a huge one right now. Just like you're talking about, that's a great way to kind of find deals in the current market that's going on. Now, when you're talking about putting in like 120 offers, just getting as many out there as you can, and one of them's going to hit, you're going to find a great deal eventually. Are you talking about solely going to Redfin, finding houses that are listed? Or are you talking about like driving for dollars, like going around finding houses that are kind of run down that could use some fix up and flipped, that kind of stuff? Or how does that process work for you?
So to start, I just teach people to look at Redfin, because there's so many deals on Redfin and Zillow, and it's underutilized. You know, so when you're first learning, like one of the things you're going to have to learn is how to make an offer, like how to call realtors and make, you know, have those conversations. So I tell people just start on Redfin, like look for homes that have sat for 30, 40, 60 days even, and go find out why, and just make offers on those homes. Now, after you've done that for a while and you've kind of got that systematic, like, yeah, there's a lot of other options. Driving for dollars is a great one. Like we use postcards. I like postcards a lot. You know, I haven't done the texting and cold calling, but I know some people who've had success in that. You know, finding what paid avenue of finding leads works great for you. But if you're just starting out, like use the free channels, use free methods to find leads. And if you make 120 offers, like you're going to find a good deal.
Yeah, it's just bound to happen at some point. Like I said, that's a lot of offers. Something's got to hit, right? I mean, it's just a numbers game at that point. So something's got to hit. I'm kind of curious. So obviously you've been in this game for quite some time now, and you've obviously become super successful in what you do in real estate. So what actually has been your most profitable wholesale property in that experience for you?
So single property, the biggest wholesale I've ever done was $100,000 on one property.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was part of a portfolio for what we call Ocean's 11, where the entire portfolio had a wholesale of about $550,000, and it was 11 homes across the street from the beach in Daytona Beach. We negotiated $2.2 million off the retail value, and then stuck a $550,000 wholesale fee, and then gave away a lot of equity to the investors who were purchasing them.
Wow. How did you negotiate off $2 million off of it to get the property?
You got to find a motivated seller. And so that's what it comes back down to. Like I said, is you're finding out why somebody is selling a home. So in this case, all of these homes had been foreclosed on by a hard money lender. And then if you know anything about hard money lenders, like they don't want to own homes. They just want to trade paper. Like they just want to lend money. And so he had foreclosed on all 11 of these homes and really didn't want to go through the process of listing them and selling them and showing them, because that's just long. Like he just wanted to get all his money back and then go back to trading paper. And he had a yacht. So he would tell me, he's like, look, I just want to take my yacht to the Bahamas and be done with this. And so I made him the offer that made sense to us, which, like I said, happened to be $2.2 million off of the retail value. And it's after a few months, like we negotiated for about 3 months.
Wow.
He was ready to take it because he didn't want to sit through the retail process anymore.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a perfect example of life is all about timing, right? Just finding that person and what they're going through. So,
But I'll tell you, I found it on Redfin, man. It was just
really
one, it was
on
a bunch
Redfin.
of homes that were all listed by the same person. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Opportunities out there, I guess, right? That's
Yeah.
impressive. That's a pretty amazing deal. I mean, like, obviously the market has been changing so much recently. Like, I think a lot of people look at real estate in the past year or two, especially since COVID happened. Like I cannot invest in this, you know. So have you seen that happen? And like, your business, has it gone a lot harder since COVID has come and changed the market, or is it just kind of looking at things in a new way, kind of shaping deals in a new way, and then you're still finding the deals that are out there even in today's market? Because a lot of people just get discouraged with everything going on with interest rates, like, man, no deals are out there. But then here you are talking about, like, it's still possible. So I'm just kind of curious about that.
I've got a student who's closing on a deal this week who's going to make $120,000 on a wholesale fee, like this week, because he negotiated a seller finance option on the homes, where these homes are going to, it was 12 homes that he is, the seller is financing at 2% interest rate, which is lower than like most people what they got in COVID, but the seller is financing at 2%, and it's because it fit his needs. You know, so to your question, you know, what makes real estate a great investment is time. You know, if you have a renter in the home, like the home is going to appreciate over time while that renter pays down the balance on the mortgage. And so then your wealth is growing in two ways at once, right? You know, so that's a constant. But when it comes to finding deals, you know, in a market like this, you just have to understand the different strategies, because it is a lot harder to buy a home conventionally. It takes a lot more market research to see, okay, this market, I can buy a home with a conventional loan and put 20% down, or it'll cash flow. Like, those markets are fewer, and there's fewer and fewer of them as interest rates go up. They still exist, but it's harder to find. And so then, you know, being able to understand things like seller finance and sub two allows you to still create great deals.
Now, are you primarily investing in just California? Because I mentioned you're living out there now, but are you primarily investing in California? Because I heard that's a very tough state to kind of invest in and make a profit, right, on rentals, or are you all over the nation?
I actually don't have any investments in California.
Really? So you're
I
just out
live
there.
here and it's beautiful, and like, you know, the weather here is great, but it's not a great market for investing. You know, so we primarily look in the Southeast and the East, where, you know, like Alabama and Florida and Georgia, because that's where people are moving. That's where homes are going to appreciate.
Everyone's going down south. So, I mean, there's another busted myth where people are like, I got to live in the state I'm investing in. I got to go out and see my properties in person, be around them, kind of understand what the market is. But now you're saying you don't even need to do that. You know, you can just look on Redfin, your house, and make it work.
We have a home in Alabama I've never been to. Never seen it. I haven't even been to the town.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That's amazing. So before we run out of time here, I have a couple more questions for you. So going forward, obviously, I know you're talking about how when your passive income kind of passes your active income, then you're gonna kind of kick back, put your feet up, and pretty much say, like, you know, I've made it, and continue down that route. So how close do you think you are to actually doing that? And like, how many current rental properties do you have, and what are you trying to get to? Like, what's your goal for that?
Well, I don't think I will stop at that point. You know, I'm just saying, like, as a model, when you're passive your active income, like that's realistically when you could retire, because then you're bringing in as much money as you would work in. I'll tell you, for me, this has been growing pretty rapidly, and so it's kind of opening up doors that I had never thought about before. You know, where I just got invited to join the Absolute Motivation speaking team. Where, if you haven't heard James Dixon, like, that would actually be a great dude to bring onto your podcast. Like, he is an incredible story, like international bestseller author, owns Absolute Motivation, and so he invited me to be part of their team. And so kind of this has been growing into something that I had never imagined it to be. As we continue to grow, like, I will just continue to buy real estate, a lot because of the tax advantages. You know, no matter how much money we make, like, it's good to take that money invested in real estate, because then you'll pay a lot less taxes at the end of the year. So this is a problem that hopefully will just kind of keep creating itself and solving itself and growing as time goes on. Right now we have our short-term rental company that manages 11 homes. We own two short-term rentals outside of that, and we have one long-term rental. And then, like I said, another one that we're looking to close right now. And I don't know, man. I don't know what the ceiling would be for that.
Yeah.
Because right now we're just running, you know?
Yeah. It's a good problem to have, you know, going forward. But, yeah.
We're very blessed.
Exactly.
To say the least.
Exactly. But to your point, you know, I think a lot of people just misunderstand real estate. Like you're talking about the whole tax advantages, it by itself, like, makes it worth it. Like the amount of money that you can just park in real estate and save on taxes, it's insane. And the government wants it to be that way because you're providing housing for people. Obviously, that's one of the most important things to the government, right? So you're going to obviously benefit people that go out there and provide housing, which is all the investors, all the real estate agents, all those people. So that's a huge part about it. And then also, like you're talking about, you can literally retire off of like a couple of rental properties. If you figure out how to invest in real estate and kind of replace your salary, if you're making $5,000 a month, that's literally just like a couple of rental properties that are done right. You know, and then that's all passive. Yeah. So it's a huge time saver, financial freedom maker. And, you know, I just think more people should be in it ultimately at the end of the day. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I need to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So before we run on time, is there anything else that you would like to say? And if people want to reach out to you or your company in Onyx P Capital, and where can people go to actually go out there and find you and what you do?
You know, just, I think Instagram is probably the easiest way, right? You know, that's how you and I connected. Just reach out to me on Instagram. I'll get back to you. We can schedule a call if it's something you're interested in learning more about. You know, I think the thing that I just want to leave with is, you know, the whole reason that I teach and kind of go into this is to show people what's possible, right? Just like you were saying, like anyone can do this, and it's not wildly out of reach if you're willing to kind of put in the time and the effort and learn. And it's there. It's there for the taking.
It really is. All right, guys, there you have it. Go out there, follow him on Instagram. Again, his last name is spelled Loutfy. So make sure you go out there, follow him, get in contact with his stuff. And that being said, Justin Lotfy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, man. Hey. No way that we going.